Thank you for listening to this very important episode of Hash It Out with Jane. My name is Jane Hash, and I have some disturbing news to report regarding a highly dangerous situation that is happening in Ohio right now. Many caregivers have not been paid ever since the implementation of a program called MyCare Ohio. These caregivers are also known as home health aides, PCAs, or IPs, which stand for independent providers. Joining me right now is Dominic Evans, who may lose his PCA because of MyCare Ohio. Dominic Evans, thank you for hashing it out with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you coming to me and asking me to come speak on this very important topic.
Absolutely. And I think you agree with me on this. You and I are kind of in the minority as far as people with a significant physical disability who have the ability to speak up for all of us.
Yes, I was telling people that I'm close with, they keep saying, why are you the one, why do you have to be the one that's standing up and speaking? Why you? And I said, well, I have the ability to stand up and speak. There's so many people that are on services here in Ohio specifically that they're not capable of speaking up. So since I have that gift, since I'm able to speak up, how can I sit back knowing what's going on and not stand up for people that don't have a voice?
Exactly. I completely agree. Now, you and I both have a significant physical disability, and both of us depend on our caregivers to show up every day. Without sharing more information than you are comfortable with, would you tell my listeners what your day would be like if your caregiver did not show up?
I'm really lucky in that my primary caregiver and I live together, but I'm kind of scared because if the issue is people aren't getting paid. If she doesn't get paid, she's going to have to go out of the house and find employment. Whereas right now, I'm living with someone who's able to be there if I need anything. And, so my day, if she couldn't get me up, if she had to have a job out of the house, would be me staying in bed all day, because nobody would be there to get me out of bed and put me in my wheelchair. Nobody would be able to bathe me. I'd be lucky to get a shower maybe when she got home out of the kindness of her heart to do it for free if she wasn't tired enough from her job that she had to go out of the house to get to pay her bills. And I wouldn't be able to... I can feed myself if I'm in bed because I can move my arms better, so I'd be able to eat. But good luck finding the food. The kitchen is not next to my bed. How am I going to cook food for myself so I don't have meals, I don't bathe, I don't get up? That's what's going to happen if I don't have a PCA. My independence is completely taken away. The freedom that my wheelchair gives me to move about in the world, and the freedom that having a PCA gives me, acting as my arms and legs, helping me do all the things I need to be a productive citizen, all that is taken away if I don't have a PCA with me.
Now, the problem that we're facing here in Ohio is called MyCare Ohio, which is kind of ironic, seeing as they're making us lose care. And what MyCare Ohio is anybody who is eligible for Medicaid and Medicare is put on this new program. And to my understanding, they were trying to decide how this program is supposed to work. even though it's already been implemented. Do you have anything to add to that, Dominic?
Yes. So there, from what I've read, there's about 115,000 Ohioans who are both eligible for Medicare and Medicaid that have been implemented onto MyCare Ohio. Activists in Ohio for the disability community begged the state to take a more gradual approach to roll out this new program, which is supposed to streamline our Medicare and Medicaid together. It's supposed to make it easier for us to handle our care. Well, what happened was, instead of rolling it out gradually, the state decided the compromise was to roll it out over 3 months, May, June, and July. I don't know which region. I'm guessing the northern region rolled it out in May, whereas Cincinnati area rolled it out in June, and I'm in Dayton. We rolled it out in July. But that still doesn't give these programs a lot of time, because that's 115,000 people flooding the system in just a couple months' time. There's not enough people to handle the onslaught. It was very poorly executed. I don't know about you, but I did not get anything but a letter saying you're being switched over. The first week of July, when it was my turn to switch over here in Montgomery County, my PCAs put in for their hours, and they were rejected because they were going through the old system. No one ever told them they had to enroll in the new system. So as soon as that was rejected, I called Buckeye, which is what I'm enrolled through, and I said, what's going on? And they said, your PCAs are not signed up through us. So my PCAs signed up through them, and what happened then was they were told it could take 2 weeks to process. So that's another 2 weeks they did not get paid. So when the 2 weeks had passed, someone called and said, oh yes, you're enrolled, you can start billing. They walked my primary PCA through exactly how to bill. They sat with her on the phone, told her, press this button, hit this, this is right. Okay, they looked on the computer, they said everything she did was perfect, and they said, you will be paid by Thursday, because you submitted on Monday. Thursday came, nothing. She called, we don't know. Friday came, nothing. The next Monday she submitted again. Still the next Thursday, nothing. 6 weeks into it, and she still hasn't gotten paid a cent. She's burning through all her savings. She doesn't know where her food's going to come from. I can't help out because I'm on a limited income myself. All my money goes to my own food and, you know, paying rent and things like that. I don't have any money to help, and I feel bad because I can't pay her to take care of me. I can't afford that. But without the money to take care of me, she can't afford to live. And that means that she's going to have to go outside the house and find a job. And if that happens, who's going to be there to help take care of me?
Now, how long has it been since your PCA has been paid?
The last time she got paid was the last week of June.
The last week of June. And it is now August 12th.
Oh, wait, she did get one payment for a couple hours. And we don't even know how they picked that hours. It was in the middle of all of her invoices. It wasn't even the full invoice. They picked and chose which hours to give her, and it was a very small payment.
Now, have you been encouraged by anyone within the system, paid caregivers, nurses, doctors, case managers? Has anyone suggested or advised that you use the services of an agency PCA?
I did have a friend who works for, in another state. She's an RN. She said, well, can't you go through an agency? The problem that I'm finding is that they're not paying the agencies either. They're not paying the nursing homes. I just talked to a friend whose nurses are not being paid for either. She's on the same program I'm on, but she gets nurses instead of PCAs, and her nurses are not being paid. She's in Montgomery County too. She said that she works for the local Center for Independence Living, and she said that there are people that have ended up in the hospital because nobody will pay their doctor bills. They're not paying for transportation. They're not paying doctor's visits. They're not paying anything. It's not just PCA care. People aren't recognizing the MyCare Ohio system. In fact, I chipped my tooth a couple weeks ago, and I tried to find a dentist. I went into Buckeye to see if I could find one. 3 pages of doctors supposedly listed for Buckeye. None of them have heard of Buckeye. None of them said they were approved for it. I couldn't find a doctor to fix my tooth to save my life. So right now I still have a chipped tooth because I haven't been able to find a dentist that takes my insurance.
Now, just to back up for a second, I just want to make sure it's clear to everyone listening that I do not advocate using agency home health aids. And the reason I don't is they don't get paid very much. And that's one of those situations where you get what you pay for. If you pay someone minimum wage, you're going to get that quality of care. I have had horrific experiences with agency aids. For one reason, you're not with the same person often enough for them to develop any type of relationship with you, to actually care about you, what happens. And they just don't get paid enough to care. I have had horrible situations where agency aides have stolen my things and mistreated me, which is why I advocate so ferociously for the independent providers. Do you utilize independent providers?
Yes, I have always utilized independent providers. I believe in the consumer-directed model where we direct our care. I don't want an agency telling me who I can hire. I don't want an agency controlling what hours people have. It's too much bureaucratic crap, if you will, for me to deal with. I would rather handle my own care in my own way. I'm cognizant enough to direct care on my own, so I should have that option, and I prefer it.
Now, it's fairly common knowledge that people with disabilities are at higher risk for being abused and mistreated than any other minority. And Dominic, you are even at higher risk because you are transsexual, correct?
Yes, yes. About a decade ago, I started transitioning from female to male. I have had surgery. I take hormones. But somebody who was involved in my everyday routine, they would have to know that I'm an F2M because I take testosterone. My body, there are scars from my surgeries. I'm not perfectly the way I want to look just yet. And there are indicators that my body did not fit my gender identity. So for me, going back to this idea that my care provider has to go out and get another job, the one who has the most hours, the one who has been with me for 12 years, knows my body, knows I'm transgendered, isn't going to hurt me, isn't going to judge me, likes me as I am. I feel safe with this person. If she has to go out and get a job, I have to find someone else to replace her. I have to find a stranger. I have to hope that stranger doesn't get upset when they find out I'm transgendered. I don't have to tell people that I'm transgendered because if you look at me, you don't know. Unless you see me naked or you see my scars or something, you won't know I'm transgendered just by looking at me. I look like any other guy on the street. So for me to have to out myself just to be safe, I don't like having to out myself. I don't like being forced to out myself. I only want to tell people what I'm comfortable with them. But if my PCA has to go out and get a job, I have no choice. I'm forced to out myself for my own safety. I have to hire someone in the hopes that they are trans-friendly, are LGBT-friendly, and that they won't get angry at me and take it out on me. And because I've had people that when they're angry that knew my birth name, they'll call me that because they're mad at me and they think that that'll hurt me. What it does is it just makes me angry that they disrespect me enough to not, that they resort to that. That is so petty, but people do it if they're angry. And not to say I would make a man, an aide angry, I would hope I wouldn't, but you never know. When I was a teenager, if you don't mind, can I tell you a story?
Please do.
Okay, when I was a teenager, when I first started getting care, I was maybe 18 or 19, and I was living on the campus at Bowling Green State University. It was my first time away from home. And I hired two females who were roommates, and they were my PCAs. And everything was okay for a while. But at the time, I didn't know I was transgender. I knew I was primarily attracted to women, but I never met anybody transgender. I barely knew anybody that was gay, so I figured I have to be gay because I like women. But the label didn't fit me, but I didn't know what else to call myself. So I was a part of the LGBT group on campus, but I was very much in the closet. I lived on a very conservative floor. Most people were religious. They put me on the floor that had a drinking ban on it because it was the most accessible floor. I didn't know that going in. So a lot of the people were very religious because they took a vow to not drink, and they all had a relationship with God. And here I am, this scared kid who's away from home, which was a relatively abusive environment. Finally able to spread my wings, and I can't because I'm so afraid of what the people next door are going to think. So I'm hiding who I am from everyone, but including my caregivers. I lived in a quad that basically it was four dorms with a food place in the center, and the buildings all connected. Well, on one of the quads that I was not in was a music room. And a lot of the LGBT people lived on that room because they were involved in band, musical theater, opera, you know, creative fields that you see a lot of LGBT people involved in. And I was hanging out with friends, and I was introduced to a girl on their floor. Well, come to find out, that girl was sorority sisters with my caregivers. So they're having a sorority hangout in my caregiver's dorm room, and one of the caregivers goes down to help me get into bed. And the girl that I had met on the band floor said, "Where did so-and-so go?" And her roommate said, "Oh, we take care of this person in a wheelchair," and she went off to help put them in bed. And the girl looked at her and said, "Oh, you mean that lesbian that hangs out with my friends?" Mm. And in that instant, she had outed me to my caregivers, one of whom was extremely religious. Well, when the other roommate came back, and she was the more liberal one, I think she would have been okay had it not been for her roommate. She was actually from Chicago. She knew some gay people. She knew some transgender people. But I believe she felt a lot of pressure from her roommate to not want to help me. So the next time that the more religious caregiver was getting me into bed, she got me in bed and confronted me. When I was unable to defend myself, I was unable to get out of bed, and I felt very threatened. She confronted me and told me what an abomination I was, that I was going to burn in hell, I was disgusting, how could I lie to her? And it went on and on. It was torturous. It was torturous to be put in that situation, to be forced out in. And just the fear, I thought. They gave me 2 weeks' notice to find a new PCA, and the PCA I found never showed up. I ended up having to move home, back to my abusive home, and commute to school, and it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. But during the 2 weeks, she would constantly throw religious doctrine at me. I fear that kind of thing. I fear someone showing up and deciding they found God or they found religion, and suddenly they want to convert me and I'm going to go to hell, and it's their mission to straighten me out. And I don't want that to happen for any trans person in Ohio. There's a huge LGBT population in the disability community. We're at risk if we're out. We're at risk if this program doesn't allow us to keep the PCAs we're comfortable with, that we know we're safe with. There's a real safety issue here, and it's crazy. There's a real safety issue here, and it's creating a huge amount of anxiety for me.
Now, emotional and verbal abuse is a terrible thing. And I can't say it's worse or not as bad as physical abuse, but are you aware of any instances where a disabled trans person has been physically abused?
I had a friend who was a lesbian who, she wasn't trans, but she's lesbian, she's black, she's a woman, and she's in a wheelchair, and she was raped by one of her PCAs. And it took a lot for her to tell someone, because she was so ashamed, she blamed herself. I was also going to say that recently in Cleveland, a trans disabled woman who was 52 years old was beaten to death. Her name was Betty Skinner, and she, they still don't know who killed her, but she lived in an assisted care facility. What I don't understand is people have said that they had to be buzzed back to get into her place. It makes me wonder if somebody who had access to that facility is responsible, because I don't know who else, other than a care worker, would have been buzzed back into her room. But she was physically assaulted, beaten beyond recognition, because she was trans, and she couldn't defend herself because she had a disability.
That's terrible. And the reason we're talking about these painful and sensitive subjects is that disabled people in Ohio were being threatened. The complications caused by MyCare Ohio are putting our care at risk. We are starting to lose the caregivers that we trust. And we're going to be put in these situations where we're not going to feel safe. Now, that sounds like abuse to me. Doesn't it sound like abuse to you?
Yes. It sounds like, I mean, what do you call it when you're put in a position where you have no choice? You lose your independence. Is there even a word for that other than inhumane? It's absolutely inhumane what is being done to Ohioans. It's ridiculous that our government did not listen to the activists, that they're letting Ohioans go without care. People are ending up in the hospital. Eventually, none of us are going to have the option but to go into nursing homes because we won't have any other care. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'll be able to hire anybody saying, well, you might get paid in 6 months. We'll see. Nobody's going to want that job. So what do we do? Do we either rot at home and die because we don't have care? That's one of the options. I really wonder if these politicians in Ohio just want us all dead, and this is their way. They're going to take away our independence one by one until we're all dead. Because that's what it sure seems like to me, that we're better off dead. And you and I both know that is not true. With support, we can be independent. We can have independent, fulfilling, and productive lives if we do not have these barriers in our way. If we have the ability to have a job without threatening our care, without threatening our, you know, if our income doesn't threaten our care, we can have a job. We can have a family. We can be independent and productive thanks to assistive technology, PCA care, and these services that they're denying us.
It seems that our greatest disability are the limitations imposed upon us.
Oh, I believe that completely. I have something called spinal muscular atrophy. It's a progressive muscle disease. There are moments where it really sucks when I have a lot of pain or I just want to get up and run to the bathroom and I can't. Those moments suck. The real barriers, though, societal barriers. The ramps that I can't get up. The services that I constantly have to fight for. The limitations they impose that keep us living in poverty. Those are the things that frustrate me, that make me hate having a disability. It's not the disability itself that upsets me. It's all these barriers, and Ohio has just made it 10 million times harder.
For all of the pain and suffering consumers and our caregivers have been put through and are still going through, I think all of us deserve some type of damages, compensation. At least a fucking fruit basket for our caregivers. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I think that they should get something. I mean, you know, and the thing is, it's not just that they're not getting paid. I don't know about your caregivers, but when my PCAs have called in to try and find out about their billing, Buckeye has been so rude. I had to call them up, and I reported them, and I filed a complaint. And you know what? I woke up to a phone call this morning because my PCA put it on speaker so I could hear. And she was pleasant as apple pie because I complained about the way she was talking to my PCAs. And I said, you know what? You're not their boss. Mm-hmm. I am their employer. And it is deplorable that you are blaming them for this mess up. Every time they've called, there's been a new reason. And it's never Buckeye's fault. It's never the government's fault. It's always the caregiver's fault. It's always their fault. They didn't file right. They billed wrong. Oh, you did it wrong. You didn't do it fast enough. You didn't put it in the right place. They sat with your employees, Buckeye, and they did it with them. They know. And everybody else has said, oh, those bills look great. They look perfect. Every time she's called, they've said that. But then they turn around and they blame her. And one woman even said to her, oh, I just wish I could hit a button so all you people stop calling me.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Right. Right. It's snotty behavior. It's absolutely uncalled for.
And Buckeye is not the only one that is behaving badly. United Healthcare is just as bad.
So is Aetna.
Yeah. So.
And Molina's not much better either.
So what do we want? We need to make some demands because there's going to be a lot of people listening to this, and they're going to keep tweeting me and calling me and emailing me and encouraging me to shut the fuck up, and I'm not going to unless.
Well, I think the first thing is our PCAs need to start getting paid. They need to get paid for every day that they worked that they have not been paid for. And they need to be paid for as soon as possible. It does not need to be, oh, we'll get it by the end of the week and then it doesn't show up. No, right. They need to be paid.
And something extra, because they're going to have late fees, they've had to take out loans, so they're going to be in debt even when they get paid. Maybe grocery store gift cards.
I don't know what they could do, but they need to do something. They need to apologize, too. They need to take responsibility, because all I hear is a lot of finger-pointing. Buckeye pointing at the government, Buckeye pointing at the PCAs, the government pointing at Buckeye and Aetna and United Healthcare and Molina. It's not their fault, it's their fault. It's not my fault, it's their fault. I'm sorry, this is not kindergarten. You knew what was going to happen. You rolled out the program anyway, and I'm holding the government responsible because they did not give these companies time to prepare. I'm holding the companies responsible because they treat everybody like crap instead of, you know, blaming the government like they should. And I'm blaming them for not speaking up and saying to the government, we don't have the manpower to roll it out so quickly. You have to do it more gradually. It's like they just wanted the business. So give us the money, give us the money. We'll do it real quick. And it's just a mess.
Because it's all about making money. There is no care involved in their decision making.
And we're the ones that suffer, us and our PCAs.
I'm going to get this uploaded tonight, and what do you say you and I do a follow-up in a couple of weeks and give our listeners an update?
That sounds great. I'm really grateful that you gave me the opportunity. I'm sorry I swore a little bit. I get a little passionate about this stuff. But like I said, I have a voice. I have to speak up. If not for me, you know, if I get paid, if my PCAs get paid tomorrow or, well, later this month, later this week, I'm still going to keep fighting because I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one that's out there. I cannot sit by and let somebody end up in the hospital because this system is broken and they won't pay for their doctor's visit. How can I, as a person, as a human being, sit back and let somebody who might not be able to have the voice to speak for themselves go through that? I can't watch them suffering because of what this system is doing to them. I can't.
And if anybody listening to this episode has something to add, has a personal story, you don't need to be identified to share your story. If you need media attention for your situation and the media is not giving you the attention, you contact me.
Do you mind if I share my link for my GoFundMe? Because I'm trying to at least get money so that my PCAs can, you know, aren't late on their payment.
For sure, and I intended to put that link on the blog also.
Okay, well, I believe it's GoFundMe/Dom, D-O-M, PCA Fund.
Awesome.
So it's GoFundMe.com/DOM, capital PCA, F-U-N-D.
Thank you so much for sharing, you know, your personal information, which it's a travesty that we have to publicly share these things that we'd rather not, but it's the only way to fix this situation.
Right. Well, thank you for having me, and anytime, hopefully the next time you have me back, it'll be under much happier circumstances.
Yes. For more information about topics and people discussed in this episode, visit my blog at hashitoutwithjoni.blogspot.com. If you have any comments, questions, or you just want to tell me how amazing I am, send me an email at hashitoutwithjen@gmail.com.